This is Due by Friday, normally a weekly challenge podcast with Merlin Mann, me, Alex Cox, and Max Temkin. However, this week it is me, Max Temkin, Trin Garitano, Zoe Quinn, and Joshua, our IT OPSEC guy. And this week's challenge is get an NFC chip inserted. Maybe. We'll see. We are indeed recording.
Okay. What is the incident that's transpired with the peach?
So I got like garbage guts, I guess is basically the correct medical term. So I usually can't like eat, I can't order out and stuff like that without it being a huge pain in the ass. So I usually like put a piece of fruit in my bag for, you know, when I go to the co-working space and stuff to work on stuff. Just because it's like, oh yeah, I'm an idiot and I'll probably forget to eat. But if I try to make this as easy as possible for me to not fuck up, then, you know, cool. And I managed to fuck it up somehow.
Oh, babe.
I had this peach that was like right on the edge of like maybe not being something a human should consume. I'm like, okay, I'll just throw this in my bag and I'll eat it today and it'll be great. And then I'll not find out in like 12 hours of coding that 12 hours have gone by and suddenly my head feels weird. And oh, you did eat it.
Oh, no.
So
what's the damage that the peach caused?
That was Monday.
Okay.
And I completely forgot about it. Because
what a saga.
Yeah.
This is intense.
It's been 5 days of this thing fermenting, I think is the term at this point. I don't think anymore. There was no more peach.
That's at that point, I think your backpack is becoming a small batch artisanal cocktail.
Yeah, basically. I think I basically made moonshine.
So two thoughts on the peach situation. Number one, I had this happen in college. I had an onion in the back of my car, in the trunk of my car, and I left it in there over winter break. And when I came back, I more or less had to sell the car because no one could get into the car without gagging. Like it was untenable. Number two, so I sympathize with your peach plight. Number two, we have a specialty. Do you guys go to Stanley's? Do you guys fuck with Stanley's? Because we have a specialty grocery store that, and their whole deal is that they sell fruit that if you don't, it's like basically like on the verge of catastrophe.
Oh God, that gives me anxiety just hearing about.
But it's cheap. It's amazingly cheap. So you can go. I mean, it's good if you get fruit for like that day.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I guess that's got to be great for smoothie people. And in theory, I would totally be a smoothie person. But I made one and then had to clean the blender out after. And I'm like, I'm never realistically doing it.
Oh, I'm a new smoothie person.
All right. I have to let me introduce everyone, and then I
want
to hear about the smoothie
that,
tech.
Trin, I know I said you could play Civ and that you should keep the noise on for ambiance, but it sounds
is that what we're hearing?
Okay. And yeah, I can't.
Trin's
do it anymore.
Full Max. She's playing a video game during the podcast.
This is the most Max thing that has ever happened in the studio.
Here's the thing, guys. I am like straight up fucking Teddy Roosevelt right now. And I really don't want to stop. So, like, I'll turn it down a little.
All right. Let me introduce everyone joining us on Due by Friday this week. We have my dear friend, Zoe Quinn, and my friend and Cards Against Humanity events manager Trin Garitano.
Hello.
They will be advising us. It's going to be a weird episode because we do sort of have a nominal challenge, but we haven't done it because we're too scared. I would say it's probably the first challenge for Due by Friday where we might die if we do it wrong. So we have some experts to help us sort things out this week.
Experts in dying.
Not dying would be the desired end state. That's where we want to go to.
We should also mention Merlin isn't here because we haven't acknowledged that.
Right.
But we can't acknowledge why he isn't here. So, the end.
Well, I don't want to compromise his OPSEC.
No.
Because you say where you are on a podcast one time, you get a fat hockey goalie in your house, the whole system falls apart. All right. What's the smoothie? Wait, okay. Question. What's the smoothie tech that you have? And then I have prepared a memo for this episode on the size and shape of women's brains, so I will be presenting that to our audience.
Great.
Thank you.
Just a moment. Right. Yeah, I know everyone's excited about my thoughts on that.
I'm excited for the counterpoint to everything I'm going to say today.
Yeah.
Discourse.
I got, I just got a cheap blender on Amazon because I was tired of cooking, so I decided to make everything into mush and drink
it.
And that's really the extent of my smoothie. Yeah.
We have, this is my cat's diet. She eats a can, one can of mush for every meal.
I'm on like two cans of mush.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, it's a, you've invented Soylent for yourself.
Oh, you mean Slim Fast? Yeah, sure.
Wait, are you saying Soylent? Are you saying it's like a Coke Zero? It's like Slim Fast for men?
It's like men reinventing something that women discovered 40 years ago? Yes, it is. I agree.
Have you guys ever been on the Soylent subreddit, /r/Soylent?
No.
It's very good. Mm. It's all people asking questions about, is it normal to have this much diarrhea
if I only have Soylent? Oh, God.
Okay. I have new mush tech to share. So, Veronica, have you guys seen the video of the cats that ring the bell and then they get a little treat and
yes.
then they ring the bell and the guy feeds them from the hand? So we want our cat to do this. We're like, it would be very cute if she rang a little bell when she wanted food. So Veronica purchased on Amazon a bell, and we have it next to the food. And we've only had it for a few days. But basically what I do is I'll put out a new can of mush for her on her little cat plate that we have. And then she approaches the dish, and before she eats, I get the bell, and I give it one ring. And then she sort of... And she sort of startles because she's not expecting a bell. My theory is, like, we do this for a couple months, and then eventually she, like, associates the bell with the food, and then maybe we'll start teaching her how to, like, put her little paw on the bell.
Oh, that's so cute. Oh, yeah. Please do this.
Isn't that great?
Oh, my God. Janeway is already a perfect luxury cat. If you could actually teach her, like, tricks and stuff, that's, like, even better.
We went to the vet because she has feline acne on her chin.
Oh, Dargo had that.
Yeah. And now I have to wipe her chin with, like, a special wipe.
Salicylic acid wipe. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
She does not like. Do you have any advice for me on how to do this so that my cat doesn't hate me?
I actually do because I have a cat, Dargo, also known as Boogers, and the reason he's called Boogers is because he has seasonal allergies and they make him very disgusting. It turns out that we have the same seasonal allergies, so we booger at the exact same time. So now I keep. I got a giant...
Have you considered that you're allergic to each other?
We have considered this. Don't care.
It's like
care.
A gift of the Magi situation.
So, like, he recently let me start kissing his furry belly, so, like, I can't care. That's, like, a gift from the gods. So I got a giant box of baby wipes from Costco, and I have, like, a little packet of baby wipes in every room. So anytime he gets too comfortable, I attack with a wipe. He's beginning to fear and distrust me, but honestly, totally fucking worth
and
it.
Did you just hit his chin?
No, because he's boogers everywhere. So he had chin acne. Mm-hmm. Boogers coming out of the eyes. Boogers coming out of the nose. And one time he had a yeast infection in each ear.
Yeah, she's got that. I have the little ear drops.
It's nasty. Cats are gross. They're way grosser than you think they are.
I don't understand how this is even occurring. Because she lives in our, like, clean house. She's not like an outdoor cat. There's no other animals. Like, I don't understand this.
Because your cat is beautiful and was bred to be beautiful, and the prettiest cats have the worst.
She's what they found
problems.
Her at a racetrack.
she was a teen mom.
And she was pregnant. Yeah, and she was pregnant.
Teen mom at a racetrack.
And she has acne. You're sure your cat isn't just a your teenage daughter that you've mistaken as a furry animal.
Wow.
Oh no, my cat has a yeast infection. God,
she watches a lot of slime videos on YouTube.
Oh, God.
Zoe, do your cats have any bizarre medical ailments?
No, no, that's not true. My older cat, I found out, has herpes. She has.
Oh yeah, that's
herpes.
A thing.
Yeah,
herpes. Yeah.
I had no idea. She just had an eye that was freaking out, and I was like, oh God, an eye problem. That can like be. So bad if it turns out to be any number of things that cause eye problems in cats. So, like, I drove her to the animal emergency hospital at, like, 3 in the morning, freaked out. And they took her back for, like, 2 hours and came out and they're like, I'm sorry, it's going to be, like, another hour. And I'm like, oh, shit. Can you tell me anything? And they're like, no, I'm sorry. We just, as a policy, we can't do that at this time. And I'm like, fuck, okay. And then they come out and it's like, the sun is starting to come up at this point. And they're just like, yeah, so... Your cat has feline herpes. I'm like, oh.
NBD.
Feline herpes, though, right? Like, I don't have to be, I don't have to worry about her having unfortunate teen problems. Like, it's just So, you know, it gets transmitted through saliva, like everything bad with cats for some reason. Like, I know feline immunodeficiency virus is through saliva, and feline leukemia can be through saliva. So it's like everything that happens to cats that's terrible apparently is associated with spit for some reason. So yeah, it's like at 5 a.m, had not slept in a very long time, being told that my cat had herpes, and just kind of laughing inappropriately at a vet.
they thought that Dargo was herpes, but it turns out he's a fucking nerd. So no, he's got allergies, and my other cat, the three-legged one, has asthma.
Dargo's a bad boy.
He's a very bad boy.
Can you tell the story about his water bowl and the socks?
Oh yes. My god!
This is one of the weirdest and most unsettling things I've ever heard of a cat doing.
My horrible orange son Dargo, he likes to put things into other things. And I can't decide if it's because he's really stupid or really smart. He's one of the two. There's just no in between. So I can't leave my socks anywhere. And I try to be clean, but
you know what the issue is? Is he's like a troubled youth. So he has a lot of intelligence, but he can't really
both have teenagers.
He can't apply it to anything other than like lighting fireworks and throwing them off a bridge at cars. Like, you know, like those kids in high school, and you're like, you're going to be dead by the time you're 30, but you're also like the smartest person in this school.
Absolutely. He's crazy. Yeah. The thing. He's got the crazy. But so what he'll do is he'll take my socks and he will pick them up with his mouth and drop them in his he's got two water fountains now because of the cat acne. Water fountain, also hot tip, steel water fountain is the best way to get rid of it. Anyway, so he puts the sock in the water fountain and then pads it down with his feet and watches it absorb all the water. And then he'll go get something else and keep doing it until all the water is absorbed.
Oh, my God. Homo does that, too. Yes. My goofy, fancy panther. She doesn't, like, pick them up in her mouth, though, because I think she just doesn't like dragging things. It's beneath her for some reason. So she'll just, like, put her little paw on it and then walk backwards to drag it into the water fountain. She does this if there's any paper towels in the room with her, too. So I have to, like, hide those from the cat. Otherwise, she'll just be like, well, I need to make this towel wet. Why is it not? I don't understand.
So Dargo is huge. He's like 18 pounds at this point.
He's
long.
Crazy.
He's long. He's very tall. He's like a lanky guy. But one time he actually went into my bathroom, took my bath mat, and I woke up with my entire bath mat stuffed in the litter box.
He's upsettingly strong.
Yeah, that's a beefy cat.
The boy has grown to be a warrior.
It's a level of destruction that seems premeditated.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I have I've prepared a couple of fun news items from this week to cover as part of our ongoing Do By Friday follow-up.
Skype quit unexpectedly. Hold on.
Okay. Oh, what a good program Skype is.
Yeah. Mm.
Update on the war. We've come to a truce at Baltimore, at the Battle of Baltimore. I'm just going to
Why were you going to lose?
No, he just offered me some real good stuff.
Oh, you should take it and then destroy him.
That's what I'm planning to do. Nine more turns, I can attack.
Great. I think maybe my computer heard the phrase, I've prepared some fun news items. And then just... like my antivirus kicked in and it's just like, nope.
I have some good, it's been a very weird week in the news. We might all die, I guess, so that's cool.
Oh, God, can I close my ears for this?
And then, all right, this was a follow-up from Vice. Twice a day since the beginning of the Trump administration, a special folder is prepared for the president. The first document is prepared around 9:30 a.m., and the follow-up around follow-up copyright 2010 John Siracusa around 4:30 p.m. Former Chief of Staff Rance Priebus and former Press Secretary Sean Spicer, rest in peace, both wanted the privilege of delivering the 20 to 25 packet to President Trump personally. White House sources say these sensitive papers described to Vice News by three current and former White House officials. Don't contain top secret intelligence or updates on the legislative initiatives. Instead, the folders are filled with screenshots of positive cable news chyrons, admiring tweets, transcripts of fawning TV interviews, praise-filled news stories, and sometimes just pictures of Trump on TV looking powerful. One White House official said the only feedback the White House communications shop, which prepares the folder, has ever gotten in all these months is, quote, it needs to be more fucking positive. That's why some in the White House ruefully refer to the packet as, quote, the propaganda document.
Wow.
So, oh, my God.
To summarize, because there's a lot going on there, twice a day, in the morning and the afternoon, President Trump gets a folder delivered to him by senior staff with pictures of himself on TV and positive news clips.
Like, I want to make fun of this. I do. I understand that it's like a precursor to fascism, but also I want it for myself.
That's what I was going to say is that, you know, listen, a lot of times you see a new idea out there, you're shocked, your initial reaction is to mock it, right? It's like first they ignore you and then they make fun of you. But I think we like to be thought leaders on this podcast, and I think that there's some really good ideas happening here. And listen, I mean, I'm an important person in this company, and my question is, why am I not getting a folder twice a day with pictures of me looking cool?
All right, and I asked news both of you if you clips. Wanted to, me to prepare this for this show, and both of you said no.
No, I said yes, oh. Except just not twice a day. Once a week is plenty because I do power poses and that supplements.
The only thing is, like, I get so uncomfortable. Like, I can't take a compliment at all. I would go insane if someone did this, if I was getting a folder of positive news.
I just want to know what the under-over on whether or not that folder has stickers on it is.
Like a gold star.
Yeah, like not like a classified manila adult-ass folder. Like some like Lisa Frank Trapper Keeper looking thing.
Yeah.
Like that's what I'm picturing in my head is it's like it's his special thing.
Oh my God, it's a tall folder. Like one of those back to school.
Let me tell you, I hate to say it. Let me tell you, but everyone's saying, America, we can't make a scratch and sniff sticker anymore. Okay, people? Hate to say it, we suck at scratch and sniff.
Really, that's the thing that will bring the jobs back is reviving the scratch and sniff sticker industry.
Smelly markers are, I think, an improvement.
That was the smelly markers is always confusing to me because, like, what are you trying to? What's the behavior outcome here?
It's just a little extra, little happiness. Just a little happy for you.
I'll do that with I'll open up a new Sharpie and get a little.
Yeah, my Sharpies make me happy no matter what the smells are. I don't know what you're saying.
Do you smell it when we open the? So when we go to conventions, we bring like a whole like it's like a missile shell full of Sharpies. It's like a cylinder.
Yeah, like a plastic clear. Yeah.
Yeah, and you open it up, and it's like 200 Sharpies. Because like when I sign a lot of stuff at these conventions, and I can't, and I'll only sign three things with a Sharpie before it's bad, before it's like mushy.
Yeah.
But there's new Sharpie tech ridiculous. Now, like the ultra fines. The ultra fines are what you need because those don't go dull.
Okay, we should be getting those because I go through those Sharpies like Kleenex. But man, when we open up that new tub of Sharpies, I get in there and smell some Sharpies.
It's not good for you, bud.
So wait, you have like a device that's like sort of vaguely shaped like a Sharpie that's just full of smaller Sharpies. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, like it's a Sharpie it's like homunculus.
Like a Russian
that's
doll.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, Russian nesting dolls.
Nesting. Yeah, that's great. That's good. I was like, I'm going into my book tour very soon, and I'm like, oh, I should like figure out what I actually like to sign books with because signing things is fucking weird, and I never know what to do. And the book signings I've had so far, I've already spelled my name wrong multiple times.
Your own name?
Oh yeah, like I missed the dash on the Q.
Okay.
Because I try to do this thing where I make the Z go into the circle for the Q, so it looks like a cool thing. Because I'm 5 years old and definitely have not ever practiced my autograph and cursing. Yeah, I need to. I was told like figure out like three things that you can write that are like little personalizations in case they want personalizations and not just their name. And I'm like, oh, I'm really gonna fuck that up. Like I know immediately if I'm already having trouble with the name thing. I actually accidentally made a book out to myself.
But you are Miss Regards, Zoe Quinn.
It took a second to go to my brain.
I've seen people ask for books to be made out to like to eBay purchaser.
Oh,
really?
Yeah,
that happens in real life.
That's really funny.
Wow. Yeah, because they're just at the signing to like get the book signed and flip it. Right. I have an embarrassing book signing confession to make.
Yes.
I feel like I should come clean on the podcast. When I was in high school, I went to a book signing for Maddox. Remember Maddox, the angry man on the internet who yelled at children's drawings?
Yes.
He wrote a book about manliness that was very bad.
Oh God.
And he did a book event in Chicago, and we went to like a Borders, and I waited in a line to have, and he wore a crown and a king's robe.
Oh.
And I was waiting in line with all these dudes, and he had like a, and he would make people like kneel in front of him, and I was like. And
what?
I was like, whoa. Yeah, and I was like, this is so lame. Like, I've gotten myself into a situation that's just so lame. But I don't know. It was like, but those were dark days. Like, if you found someone something funny on the internet, there like wasn't that community of, there wasn't Twitter or whatever, so you couldn't go find the like cool funny people. So I was like, this is the guy who writes funny things on the internet. That's what I want to do.
How old was he?
He must be like about 10 years older than us, so he's probably like 40 now.
So like when at the time. He wasn't some like.
He must have been late 20s.
Oh, God, that is way too old to be making people kneel to you, ironically.
Yeah.
I don't.
On what date, hypothetically, would you ever bring up with somebody that you are, that your dad is Maddox?
Oh, interesting.
Or would you like, would you take that grave? Is that like post marriage? Like,
oh, my God, that's. Oh.
Is he still Maddox?
I think.
Yes.
I think he has like a podcast and stuff.
We could Google it.
Yes. Yeah. But
only person left that doesn't have a podcast.
1997 to present. He currently. The alphabet of manliness? Is that what you got signed?
The alphabet of manliness.
No!
So it was like,
no!
It was like B is for bear, like a fierce animal that represents the manly virtues.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. I'm sure I still have it signed.
At least it wasn't Tucker Max.
Oh, God, Tucker Max. That, yeah. Now there's a name I haven't heard in many years.
I don't know who this is. I'm.
Oh, bless your heart.
You don't know who Maddox is?
No.
Oh, Tucker Max?
It's. I'm not going to look it up. I
wouldn't lose any sleep over it.
No.
All right, let's. I feel like let's get into this challenge because I have many questions.
Oh,
about
I know
this.
Who this guy. I met this guy. Fuck this guy.
Wait, what?
Why did you meet him?
Yeah, because he was.
I heard a bloop.
A bloop?
Is Zoe still here?
A bloop?
Yes. The I hope they serve beer in hell guy.
Yeah.
Happened upon in Naperville, Illinois. There's this amazing bookstore called Anderson's, and they have book signings all the time. It's really, really cool, and it's like a nightly event. And so, because I'm a nerd, we would just go there. And this is before like he was a gross dude, and we went, and he's like, "Who the fuck are all these kids?" It was gross and horrible. But yeah, that is the one memory I have of him, and that wasn't a good story. The end. What a sparse, sad Wikipedia page.
I need to, so I'm still looking at the alphabet of manliness because I don't know why, but there's a post on May 11th, 2000. Oh, there's a post on May 11th, 2006. Mm-hmm. The alphabet of manliness is now rocking crotches over at Barnes & Noble.
Oh. That's, woo! I had my crotch rocked. Oh. I mean, I must have been that was my like senior year of high school. So I must have been like, yeah, we're gonna go to the big city and see Maddox.
Rock a crotch.
Okay. Challenge this week. Alex, your challenge.
No, it was. All right. The challenge this week sort of came up. We were, for a long time, I think actually like since the day I was interviewed at Cards Against Humanity, Max Trin and I have been talking about body modifications because I very much want to be a cyborg because I'm a fleshy piece of trash. And I, for a really long time, wanted to get a magnet in my hand, but at the time, I mean, any doctor is still going to say, no, don't do that. But I was getting, like, a lot of MRIs, and I thought it was a bad idea. Now, this, like, random Wisconsin company is inserting chips into people's arms so they can, like, buy food at the company store. So I really want to get an NFC chip in my hand.
Can you describe it?
Describe and what an NFC chip is.
Yeah, what is it? What does it look like?
It looks like a tiny, tiny, tiny little capsule, like almost microscopic. Like
how big?
The one, you know, the vial that they like, like when it's inserted, it's basically inserted through in most of them.
Is it a grain of rice? The size of a grain of rice?
It's a bit bigger than that.
Bigger than a grain of rice. That's not microscopic.
It's not.
It looks like a really cyberpunk Tic Tac.
Yeah, that is the best way of describing it.
Okay.
And yeah, there are just I couldn't find a place in Chicago who will do it. It's like body mod places and tattoo shops will do this.
What do you mean you couldn't find them?
Well,
you
as
called
in,
places,
yes,
and you were like, "Will you put this thing in me?"
Yes,
I know who will do it.
Well, and so
this
then
is
the
blowing
challenge.
My mind. How did you? What do you? Mean? You just picked the phone up?
Yeah, I just.
Did you go on Yelp?
That's literally. The top 10 like tattoo shops in Chicago, and people gave me suggestions, and then people gave me suggestions of like that they've gotten like magnets and shit in their hands before, and they were like, I would call, and then they were like, we don't do that, and just hung up. It's like the one I think there's like a backroom operation happening at most of them, but anyway, I couldn't get a chip inserted in my hand within 12 hours.
So it's like a cyberpunk Tic Tac,
yes.
And it's the same thing that's like in the iPhone basically, like it's NFC is like. Some sort of wireless.
Yes, it stands
protocol.
For near field communication. And if you have like a fob or something that opens a door, you probably have NFC.
And is it powered or is it passive?
It uses magnetic induction. So basically, the PLDR it's got a little tiny radio transmitter in it and something that holds a minimal amount of memory. And then it's got this little thing that when you get anything that's an NFC reader, like a phone or like the things that key fobs you put against, the little guy just sucks enough energy via magnetic induction to send a quick little signal back to the reader. And that's how it communicates with the reader. There's nothing like stored. There's no like battery. It just uses magnetic induction, which is basically magic.
Okay, so that's the challenge, was to get this implanted.
No. The challenge became just research it and do it in a responsible way.
I see.
What a lame challenge.
I agree.
Everyone yelled at me. Merlin Mann yelled at me.
Alex,
everyone
nut up and get this thing installed. Let's go.
I would get one right now. If somebody.
Let's Borg up right now.
I can help. I can help. My brother has one.
Your brother has an NFC
thing? I totally fucking forgot about this. So, my brother
Wait,
used
this
to.
This is like.
I've been talking about this nonstop for a week and
I just completely
your
forgot.
Twice
I just.
In that time.
I just texted him now because I completely forgot about
this.
Oh
my gosh.
It actually was a long time ago. So, he used to work at the UIC lab, and like you remember when the UIC lab found the gene in fruit flies that makes them gay.
What?
No.
Yeah.
Let's circle
no, that's
to this right now.
Okay, Google it right now. UIC lab fruit flies. Enjoy your
this
life.
This is a very problematic study.
Oh, I know. It was. Well, I know it like did them something to them. Anyway, do your thing.
Gay.
Turning some kind of fruit fly gay. It doesn't matter.
This is very Alex Jones.
What's important? What's important is that they were chipping. I want to say like rats or something like that. And then they were like, dude, we should chip ourselves. And they did. So a couple of people have a microchip in their arm that you can like scan, and I just texted him.
Okay, so this is bonkers.
Yes,
I don't even know where to, I don't even
All
know
right.
where to start.
We're getting
say,
ahead of ourselves,
yeah,
Max.
So I have a billion questions about this, but specifically, we've invited our friend Zoe on the podcast because Zoe is already well into the process of cyborging herself. And
sure.
I think the first time that I possibly ever encountered you online was the blog post that you wrote, the Tumblr post that you wrote about your magnetic implant. And then I sort of put together also that you had made like Depression Quest and like Trim was our mutual friend. But that was, I think, my first thing that I ever saw. And I honestly think about that blog post like once a week. Like it just like got into my head. It's such an interesting way that you wrote about it and that you think about it. Can you kind of walk us through like what is the magnetic implant? Like why did you get it? What was the process?
Sure. I mean, I'm kind of a weirdo in tech in that like I come from a pretty different culture than I think a lot of folks do. Like I grew up in a kind of rural Appalachian biker culture. So like tattoos and body mods were just like a thing everybody had. Like one of my earliest memories is of my dad, getting a tattoo, and it's like of a cool dragon and a wizard and a castle. And there's like a little lady face hidden in a crystal ball, and that face is supposed to be mine. And it's like, it's just like a thing that everybody has. So body mod has always just been like this thing.
Were you like one of those like weirdos in high school who read like BMEZ and was always trying to like show people like look, they're hanging on these like meat hooks?
Yeah, I absolutely was. Like I had gauges. I gauged my ears during high school finals for something. And like I have a clear memory of fucking up and like getting blood all over my chest and being like, well, I think I still have 20 minutes till you let me leave. So this is weird. Sorry. So yeah, I was definitely one of those kids. And it didn't help that I was like trying to do Riot Girl 10 years too late. So I was totally this like gross little dirtbag punk kid. So I had followed BMEZ very closely, and I thought Shannon Larratt, who's like the founder of BMEZ, may he rest in peace, writing on his hypothetical magnetic implants were super interesting because he talked about being able to actually touch and sense magnetic fields. And it's like, yeah, the like little pub tricks of being able to like spin Canadian currency or like lift up earrings or like you know, make really shitty attracted to you jokes and stuff like that. Like, that's great. But being able to actually have a new sense was what was so profoundly interesting. But the magnetic implants were garbage. They like usually exploded in people. And that didn't sound great. So then I forgot about it for a few years until this cool company like sort of perfected the issue that was like causing all of the trouble with the prototypes. And now they were totally stable and fine. Like,
and
oh,
what
shit.
Is and what I, is the magnet?
So the magnet's like a neodymium magnet that's got gold plating around it and is encased in silicon. So it's like made to be as biocompatible as possible because neodymium and human bodies don't necessarily get along. So, you know, they've got those two layers of protection there to try to keep it from, you know, causing any issues. And I don't know of anybody that has like had any real issues with it, even in the friends that I know that have had ruptures, usually because like something horrible happened to their hand and that just happened to be there. Like I had a friend who had to get it removed, and like it was the neodymium had like totally gotten screwed up and like crumbled, and he was still fine. So it's like as safe as this sort of thing can be, which there's still like you know, any risks that come with putting anything near your body and opening your skin.
Okay, what is it? So first of all, before, because I'm sure we sound like completely insane to people. What does it do?
Oh, yeah.
Like, why? Like, can you talk about like the new sense that you describe having with this thing?
Sure. It's so one of the biggest reason I did it is because anybody who had done it said it's really hard to describe, and I'm like, oh, I need that. Then I want that. I want to know the thing. The best I can do is like if you've ever held like a can of a carbonated beverage really tightly and felt like kind of those little bubbles on the side like move and pop. It's kind of like that, but amped up a lot. And you can tell the difference between different magnetic fields. Like, it's not just like...
Holy shit.
This...
I have to do it.
Yes.
It's like, it's maddening. It's like, that is like, it's like such, it's like, I don't want to hear that something is like, that it's like hard to describe. Like, I don't tell me that there's like a whole sense out there that I don't have, that I don't understand, and I can't.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. Don't say that. It's like how people like, when I would read Animorphs books, they would always describe how the animal stuff. Don't laugh at me. They would always.
Yo, Animorphs is amazing.
It was a giggle of delight.
Thank you. They would always talk about how when they would morph into like flies or insects that they, because insects can see all kinds of IR light and spectrums of light that humans can't see. And I was always like, because I've always been interested in like art and design and stuff. I'm like, don't tell me there's like whole colors and senses that are out there that I can't even describe.
Wait, so in the books they said it was indescribable?
Wow.
It was
K.A. Applegate, that's your one fucking job is to describe that.
No, they would describe it. But it was like, what can you say? It's a kid's book. It's like, it was amazing. We saw a lot of colors and like, vroom. There was a lot of sound effects in the
Okay.
She got better as time went on.
No, she didn't write the books after time. This is not neither here nor there, but the first 10 books, which she wrote, are the best. Tightest writing in the series.
Yeah.
And then it was all handed over to ghostwriters, and her husband like creatively directed it, and the writing was very mixed from there on out.
I forget that we did not release our Animorphs episode, but you are correct, yes. I was referring to like the final arc she wrote.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
and
we're
I mean,
nerds.
Like, to be fair, they're kids' books, but that shit got really dark.
Yes.
Like, the ending of Animorphs is so pessimistic and just such a downer. And I don't want to spoil Animorphs for anybody.
Spoiler alert for a series that came out over 20 years ago. They get very dark.
Yes.
Wow, are we all, do we all read Animorphs as kids? Is this why we're all weird? Yeah.
I did not. No, I was an Aliens Ate My Homework kind of girl.
Oh, hell yeah, Bruce Colville.
Yeah.
I have, as you can see, I have the entire works of Bruce Colville in the bookshelf here.
Yeah, I totally ripped him off for a young author submission, and I got third place.
I absolutely did, too. I would write my own versions of Bruce Colville's stories.
Did you have a self-insert character, and what was their name? Mine was Jupiter.
Aww. So good.
Oh, man.
People have told me not laugh in mic. I can't.
God. So basically, that's not ripping off. You guys just did fan art.
Oh, it's true.
Like, that's just fanfic. You're just little and doing fanfic about very specific fandoms for kids.
I 100% wrote Bruce Colville fanfic. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to need some time to process this. what were we talking about?
Magnets.
Animorphs, magnets, Trump.
How do they work?
The eternal question. Okay, so you have this thing, and you've written about, so you've experienced this like new sense of being able to detect stuff with it. How did you put it in?
I did not put in the magnet, which I am thankful for the fact that I never even attempted that.
And where is it also?
It's in my left ring finger right at the tip of it, because in order to get this new sense, you kind of need to put it somewhere where the nerves will grow back around it and sort of like add it to your nervous system sort of, without it being like more of a cyberpunk, like, oh, it's actually hooked in. It's just like, no, the nerves grow around it. So it's like hypersensitized to anything that happens with magnet. So I went to New York City after I did a bunch of research, because I was living in Boston at the time, and Boston has weird stuff with body mod, because like tattooing was illegal until like the 1980s or something, because they're like, there's too many sailors here and we want them to not be here drinking and yelling at things, because we're Boston and we're still extremely Puritan.
Mm-hmm. We've all had problems with rowdy boys, with the rowdy sailor boys coming through town, and they kick over your sandcastle and take your girlfriend. We've all been there.
Really?
I hate when a rowdy boy comes by and kicks over my sandcastle.
The Boston canned spinach economy was just having a really hard time. But yeah, so I took a bus to Boston. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do this. And my pain tolerance is very high. I've gotten a lot of tattoos. You know, like probably the worst one being like sort of close to my armpit, which is somehow worse than like the back of my head or ribs or anything like that. Like underarm is.
Wow.
Like any place you might be a little bit ticklish is like nightmare hell. So I'm like, this will be fine. It'll be great. They're like, so what we got to do is we're going to slice into the tip of your finger with a scalpel. And then we're going to kind of like lift it a little bit to create the pocket. Then we'll slide the magnet in, stitch you up, and you're good to go. The whole process will take like 35 to 45 seconds. I'm like, yeah, all right, I'm good. I got this. And they can't do like local anesthetic or anything. And I think this is probably why people got sketched out when you called around. Because if they get caught doing stuff like this, it's like in kind of a legal gray area where if somebody really wanted to be a dick about it, they could try to get like practicing medicine without a license stuff thrown at people. Like, because it's not really clearly enough defined, because it doesn't quite fall into something a doctor would do.
Why don't we just live in a country where you can just sign a form, where you can be like, I'm a grown ass man and I want to sign a form for you to put this thing in me, and I by signing the form, I acknowledge that I won't sue you.
I'm a grown ass woman. I would like all of this weed in my body right now. Thank you.
The grown ass checkbox.
Yeah.
Like on your driver's license. Like, are you an organ donor? Yes, no. Are you a grown ass person? Yes.
Are you a rowdy boy? Yes, no.
But yeah, so they might have just gotten a little bit worried about that. Just because, like, you know, I think a big part of it is there's still this sort of stigma. It's much less than it used to be, but there is that sort of stigma, especially in like less, like in a lot of areas, it hasn't quite caught up to you know, giving a shit about people that have tattoos not being like criminals or whatever, because there's definitely still that perception in a lot of places. So, you know, it's probably just pearl clutching at the end of the day. Like, heavens, these people with things on their flesh.
These cyborgs today?
Yeah.
Okay. What advice do you have for us? What do you know about these NFC implants? Like, I have not even Googled it. Like, I've just been, Alex has been researching it. But I do want one. But am I going to die? Like, there's a lot of Dr. House episodes where someone has some weird thing inside of them and it, like, melts. And then they have, like, you know what I'm talking about? And they
yes.
have, like,
yeah.
the kid has, like, uranium in him or something and he's getting sick and they can't figure it out why. And then Dr. House, like, looks into the camera at the end and figures it out.
Well, yeah, I mean, go ahead, Zoe. You're the expert.
I mean, this is going to be like a super unflattering comparison to draw and might make you want to do it less because it sounds super uncool. But I mean, we've been microchipping animals for forever and they're fine. Like, that's never been like a, oh, something bad's going to happen there. Like, it's almost the same technology. It's just got usually better memory capacity. I don't know of anybody who's actually had their NFC chip break in them. And even if it did, it's like, it's a simple removal thing. It's not like it's in, it's not like it's underneath layers of skin that would be like, oh, this is in your bloodstream now or something like that. And even then it's like, I wish I had offhand how much like pounds per square inch of force these things can withstand. But like the outer case is like this really thick, strong ass glass that doesn't, you know, just break or shatter. Like the biggest thing you'd have to worry about is like something catastrophic happens that just ruins your hand and turns it into like a sad meat flapjack. In which case,
title.
You probably have.
Oh, hang on. We have one more guest joining us. I'm gonna go let him in. One second.
Mystery guest.
Sorry, we have one late addition to the podcast. We're joined by Alex's nice friend Joshua. He's helps us with IT at the office. He's sort of a security consultant for Cards Against Humanity and advises us on our OPSEC, our digital security, the whole package. Thank you for coming to chat with Alex and I.
Thank you, Max. Thank you very much. I appreciate the invitation.
Yeah, of course. We have like a meeting that I'm running a little late for, and we're talking about a potentially disastrous security idea. So I figured I should fill you in on this. Okay, so very quickly, let me. I have a couple. Here's my last questions about the NFC chip. Here's what I want out of it. So number one, when you ride the L now, the Venmo thing, are you aware that this is that they take NFC so you can just wave your phone, you can put Apple Pay at your phone and just touch it to the thing and get on?
Mm-hmm.
Can I make my finger do that? Because that's, if I had the little chip or whatever in my hand and I could just like touch my body to the thing and get on the L, that's really cool. Because then even if I get like lose my wallet and I have nothing, like I can ride the L and get to where I need to go.
So right? that super depends because Apple's kind of close guarded when it comes to NFC stuff. So you can't actually use your NFC chip with Apple devices because it's locked to specifically Apple Pay type stuff.
But they have, haven't they announced an NFC kit?
You can actually use your Apple Pay cards with the L. You can,
if I get the NFC implant in my arm, that what I want to do is like touch my arm to the reader and have it be like, okay, I recognize this as Max.
Yeah, there's no Apple Wallet API for independent NFC chips.
I thought I saw that they have some sort of like NFC kit or something.
It's in the talks. iOS 11, I believe, they're starting to open up the NFC a little bit more.
Okay.
But that's not necessarily something that will directly work at the moment.
Yeah, and there's been people like that's been one of the biggest things that people who already have the chips have been trying to do. And some folks have like gotten it to work in like, I think the UK by basically hacking it and reverse engineering it from their specific NFC, like their specific NFC cards.
So this isn't the realm of doesn't work now, but who knows in the future.
Yeah, it does look like we do have a, there's going to be a SDK in iOS 11 allowing for a little bit more NFC access.
Okay. Question number two. We have NFC door readers at the office that are tied into our security system. Could I somehow set this chip to open the doors in the office?
We don't have NFC. We have the U one. So you might know this better. I forget.
It's hard to be an early adopter.
It's not RFID. But I specifically called our security company because I wanted the same thing.
You called the security company for the office?
I didn't say
and you were
who
like,
we were or who I worked for.
Did
I
you
just
disguise
said,
your voice?
I was like, hello, I want a chip. And then they were very confused and very upset. And then they're like, did you try to put one of our fobs in your hand?
You
I'm like, no.
So,
no.
Did you call them and do like a Bane voice?
You're just like, doing this so that you can do your Bane voice to the Bane
yeah,
voice.
That's definitely what happened.
All right, well, now I got called out on it. So thank you for stepping on, thank you for stepping on my bit, Alex. I appreciate it. Okay, let me just cross that one off my list. Okay, Bane voice. Joke is done, everyone. Email at Alex Cox with all of your comments about me not doing the Bane voice
Sorry,
anymore.
Sorry, guys.
Well, there is actually a company, though, in Wisconsin that's doing this.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That actually they're giving the employees an opportunity to implant chips in their hands
to open
the door as well as buy snacks out of the vending machine.
Oh, my God. Garbage Kids Humanity can do this.
Okay. Joshua, we were talking about this earlier, and this is like what made me really get into it. Mm-hmm. This company, did they even like announce their name? Like, is it public? I forget. They're using their own proprietary stuff, right? Because I was trying to get into like open source stuff and like how
it's out there. But I mean, there's also like a Swedish rail company that's doing exactly what Max wants: a scan with your hand. So I mean,
I think that's so cool. Like I'm very interested in like how people in like cities interact, and to me, there's like something really cool about the being able to board a train like by just touching your hand to the thing, and like I don't know, it's like a very personal connection to the infrastructure and the transit system in the city, and makes me feel like I can get on the train anytime. I don't know.
I like that. I like boarding with my watch, but I don't know if I really would go as far as something in my hand personally.
Okay. I would.
So this leads me to my next question, which is almost every tech device is like can be like turned against you, right? Like we talk about this all the time. Like everyone's shitty thermostats and smart light bulbs. It's all vectors of attack. There was a story, researchers hid a computer virus in a DNA sequence in a piece of DNA, and then they sequenced the DNA on like the computers that sequence people's genes, and because the DNA contained this computer code in it, they were able to get root on the computer that sequenced the DNA because it infected the computer with the with the virus. So any code, any opportunity where you have this personal information and it's like part of your life, it can be used to attack you.
Yeah, this would be something that what scares me is with a lot of, you know, at least with Apple Pay and credit cards and our venture cards and everything with NFC chips in them, we can change them. It's a lot harder to change this chip once it's implanted in you.
Except you just take it out. You like
wait a minute. What do you mean you just take it out?
Well, you can also reprogram it. You can reprogram it from your phone on the fly, and it only has 888 bytes of storage. And like, in order for someone to hack your NFC chip, they basically have to be touching your hand right in front of you.
Yes.
So it seems like the easiest OPSEC thing is just don't let people put electronics on your hand. And if they seem like they're being sketchy, like slap them.
So do we start checking people's hands before we shake hands anymore?
Well, that's the thing.
Do you think they have an NFC reader hidden in their palm? Also, I did on my left hand anyway. I don't shake hands with my left hand. Because I switched to iOS from Android because Android kept having all these shitty exploits and I have security needs. The last thing I did was show a friend that I could reprogram it by doing like a really quick thing, and it just pops up a window on people's phones that say dicks.
Oh my God, yes! This is the best thing I've ever heard!
Okay, I'm back on board. How much did it hurt?
It didn't hurt like at all. Like the biggest problem was like the lizard brain survival instinct was kicking in and was like, don't do that to yourself. You shouldn't do that. This is going to scare you a lot. No, you're not going to be able to push this needle into your hand. What are you doing? So it took way longer than it needed to, even though, like, I have had some, like, I've had a decent amount of training in, like, body mod stuff, and I was, like, a piercer's apprentice for a bit when I was younger. But still, like, would not recommend it. It was definitely not as sterile as it should be, but I did the same thing. I called a lot of places around Boston. I'm like, would you, like, no, and hung up. So I got really impatient. I'm like, all right, well, I went through all this stuff with the magnet thing. I've got some training. I'm just going to, and if it sucks, that's my fault and whatever. So yeah, I did it myself. The first thing I did was I programmed a Humble Bundle URL into it that would Yeah, so what it would do is people would put their phone on it, like a high five type situation, and then they would get a free copy of the game Deus Ex.
This
is the best. Oh my God. We have to do it.
I was very proud of myself.
Okay, listen, I'm on board. I'm on board. All I want is to open the doors in the office so we don't trin.
What?
How many? Be honest.
What?
Be honest.
Yes.
You're on the stand right now.
I'm right here.
You took an oath.
I'm here.
How often do you lose your keys?
Oh God. Okay. So funny story.
/ Are they currently lost right now?
No. So the last time I lost my keys was yesterday, and it's because my brother's been crashing with me a few times, and he found my keys and he put them on the key hook, and I did not look there. Because that is not where I keep my keys. So it took me the entire day, and then he came by at like 11 p.m. and he is like, "Why does it look like you haven't left the house since yesterday?" And it was like, "Because I can't."
Is it true or false? Is it true or false? I have a question for the witness.
Yes, yes.
Is it true or false that if you lose your driver's license one more time, the state of Illinois will not replace it because?
So false, it
turns out there's a limit.
False. So there is a limit, but I have two more strikes. So eat it, Your Honor.
Maybe we can put this driver's license on the NFC chip.
That's what I'm saying, though.
That's what I'm saying. Is like, so I don't generally lose stuff, but what I do is I walk around on a phone call looking for where my phone is so I can leave.
Hmm.
Have you guys ever done that?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
About every day.
So, okay, here's what I'm thinking is, like, I feel like if I can eliminate the last key in my life is the key to open up the office. I have the card that opens up the wireless thing. So I'm interested in if we can get some sort of reader on those doors that where I can put my hand on it and open the doors, I'm on board.
That should be doable.
I'm so on board for this.
Let's
do it.
Replace. And how do we find, how do we find a place who does this? Who will install this thing? Also, where do you get it? Zoe, you got it on your palm?
Don't put it in your finger, because that's like not something you need for this. Like, you need it for the magnet, otherwise, like, right. You're not going to have the same sensation. But for me, it's like sort of like if you make an L, like you're a 90s person calling someone a loser, that like part between your pointer knuckle and your thumb knuckle where it's just like
the hand kind of.
Yeah, the paint.
That's the part you squeeze to find out how well done meat is.
Yeah,
you know this?
Put it in your meat paint.
So if you're cooking steak or something and you want to know how well done it is, so if you open your, if you make like an open hand and you squeeze that little webbing, this part here, that's rare, or that's like not cooked, rare. And then if you put one finger down, that's medium rare. Two fingers down is like medium. Three is medium well, and four is well done.
This information makes me happier that I'm vegan.
Yeah, I mean, in 2 years, you're going to be printing your meat, so it won't matter. You can tear that hand taint right up.
So we're going to have some sort of juicero for all of the meat that we eat, and it's going to have some sort of costly tech gizmo where I have to order a subscription to meat.
Yes, I'm very excited.
Zoe, you can just get the thing taken out of you if you wanted to, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's super not hard.
Can you feel it if you squeeze your meat taint?
You can actually, so since I did it myself, I don't know if this is the case for everybody, but I can usually see like a little tiny bump if I'm looking for it. And if I poke on one end of this like little cybernetic tic tac, I can see the other end like pop up,
cool.
I'm doing it now, but like, I don't feel it or notice it like ever. It's the same case for the magnet though. I feel it when it's responding, but I've had the, little tic tac guy for 3 years, I think now, maybe going on four.
That's
3 years.
So cool.
And I've had the magnet for one extra than that. And you know, I've had no problems with either of them. I've been able to do like plenty of stuff. Like, the only thing is like, I wrap it up in a Band-Aid sometimes if I'm like doing weightlifting or something, where it's like, it's a little bit distracting when your finger is sticking to the bars.
So this and this is just the magnet, not the chip, right?
Yeah, the chip is like I have not had any issues with it whatsoever, other than like programming something dumb in it and forgetting about it.
Like so the reason why I'm so all aboard on this is because I've actually had an implant put in my arm and taken out already.
What was the implant?
It's they have this thing that it's a birth control implant.
Oh, sure.
Oh, and it's just that guy.
Yeah, it's pretty dope. But like and the taking out was the worst.
Did it hurt?
No, because they I got it done in the office and like the anesthetic. But when they took it out, they had to dig. They had to dig in there. It took them about like 20. It was two doctors, 20 minutes of digging around in my arm to try and find it. And they actually, so because they were like, oh, you're on the thinner side. This should be fine. Like, it'll come right out. And they're like, actually, you like heal really fast. And like all of this fat tissue just grew on top of it.
You do a Wolverine on them.
Yeah. And so they had to like rip it out. And they're like, look at it. And I was like, thanks. And it looked like a Q-tip.
Weird. Yeah, it's like that guy has like weird little plastic hooks in him and stuff too. Yeah. So yeah.
How long does it last?
3 years.
3 years?
Yeah.
That's a good deal.
It is. Sometimes it can make like you a little wacky, because like everything that deals with your hormones can make you feel a little wacky, which is why I eventually like it wasn't worth it, so I took mine out. But that's how it is when you're a woman doing birth control. You take a lot of risks.
Women should get these installed with like in the same way that men have the brosectomies that we've talked about, where they like go out with their boys for like a night on the town. And, like,
Max, I considered this. Yeah. Mel and I were okay, what? Because we were talking about the brosectomies and like there's no like we don't want to get our tubes tied. Also, not really necessary for two cis women to do this who are married. But we found a place in. They're like, oh yeah, we'll put birth control, the little dingus in you, and, nice. and yeah, you just can't have wine beforehand, but they'll give you wine afterwards.
Just get a little dingus in you.
Yeah,
it's a new trend in 2017. The brosectomy. We've talked about it at length. You just bro down with your best buds. You go out on the town. You get your balls snipped. That's the trend.
We're gonna have champagne and chocolate. It's gonna be great.
All right, I feel. Hesitantly excited to do this, especially if you guys are that will go do it with me. So I feel like this will be ongoing coverage on Dubai Friday.
This will officially be the second body modification that Max and Alex and I have that matches. If we get it,
yeah, we have our little box tattoos together.
Yeah, the dark mark.
Okay, Trin and Zoe, thank you both so much for joining us. This was really fun, Trin. Can you tell everyone about Friendshipping and talk about where people can find that?
Yes. Friendshipping is a podcast that is friendship advice that is really just an excuse for my buddy Jen and I to compliment each other for like 45 minutes a week. You can find our podcast at friendshippingpodcast.com. And if you want to email questions, we take questions from the internet and we'll answer them. We'll tell you how to be a good friend. You can email friendshippingpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you. Thanks for having me. This was awesome.
Yeah, and Zoe, tell us about the book that you're working on. It's honestly maybe one of my like number one most anticipated books in the world that's coming out. I absolutely cannot wait to read it.
Thank you. It's called Crash Override, and it's coming out on September 5th, so like less than a month now. It's pretty much available everywhere, including Target and Walmart, which I did not know about until I like looked at the page really closely. I'm like, oh, that's going to be weird. Because I'm on the cover and there'll be Tiny Mews in Walmart, and that's very strange. It's a book about how to make the internet suck less for people and how and why the kind of systems that make it suck now work and what we can do about it. And we'll have an audiobook coming out at the same time. I'm going on a book tour with 10 different cities, and I've got details on that on my Facebook page, like the public page thing. So if you're curious about that, there's dates there and you can check it out.
Well, I know I have a little inside information that I looked up while I was getting ready for this. And my boy, Milo Yiannopoulos, sold a paltry 18,330 copies of his new book. I'm almost certain that you've probably exceeded that in pre-sales, but I'm confident that you're just going to destroy him in book sales.
I blessedly am in the dark about book sales because I have what is it called? A publisher.